The Holy Gospel comes to us tonight according to John.
Glory to you,
O Lord, indeed, from John chapter 13. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him, and during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and he tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Well, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set for you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of the Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Moses is standing there before Pharaoh. On multiple occasions, he has declared, "Pharaoh, you must let my people go. My God, the one and only true living God, is the God who has sent me to tell you this, to warn you of this. You must let my people go." But Pharaoh won't listen. His heart has been hardened. God himself has hardened Pharaoh's heart. And this is that moment in human history in which God will show all of the world who truly is the sovereign, living, true God who is in charge. You see, Pharaoh and Egypt, they were the absolute strongest, powerful, most powerful nation in all of the world of its time. And they worshiped so many gods, so many false gods, and at the end of the day, Pharaoh was himself going to be declared as a god himself. But on this particular night, on this Passover night, God has given Moses the instruction. He goes back to his Israelites and he says, "We must prepare. You must be ready. You must be ready to be in a hurry. But we are going to have one more meal together. Get together. Find a lamb or a goat. Sacrifice this goat, this lamb. Be prayerful as you do this. And take the lamb's blood and paint the doorposts. Because God has promised that when he sees that blood, he is going to pass over. The angel of death is going to come into Egypt, and it is going to be the most atrocious plague that has ever surfaced on human history." And the Israelites listened. They believed. They did just as Moses was had instructed them, as Moses himself was instructed by God. And on that night, as the angel of death comes into Egypt, all of the firstborn, all of the firstborn children, all of the firstborn animals perish. The next morning, we can only imagine the grief. Amen? And at that time, Pharaoh says, "Get out. It was 1,500 years. 1,500 years before Jesus enters into the picture. For 1,500 years, Israel has celebrated that night with the blood on the doorposts. For 1,500 years, they have honored and cherished the promise made from God to them that he had heard their cries, he was going to set them free, he was going to save them from the ways of the world, he was going to save them from the captivity of Egypt. For 1,500 years, they ate this meal. Jesus and his disciples, on this night, now come into Jerusalem. They came a few days ago, and they came down to the Mount of Olives from Bethany down into Jerusalem, and they came into the words that we also say. We are no different. We have already forgotten the cries of Hosanna. Hosanna. That is the weakest, saddest Hosanna I have ever heard. And the discomfort of us makes us laugh. Amen? The Hosannas have been forgotten. They no longer say those words. Jesus and his disciples have found a place that God in the flesh, Jesus himself, knows that is a place that was going to welcome them in. They head up into that upper room, and there is a feast, the Passover meal. The disciples know that this is an honorable moment. Not only do they get to celebrate the Passover again with their teacher, their rabbi, their mentor, their savior, as he has been telling them, but there they are with God in the flesh. He gets down on his own bended knees with his robe tied around his waist, and he washes their feet. He does something that no one would have ever done to someone else unless it was a servant or a slave in their own household. Yes, of course, Jewish men and women, they would wash themselves in the mitzvah. Every Jewish family would have had the mitzvah. The community would have had a mitzvah in which they would go and wash themselves to clean themselves in the law of Israel. But for the highest of the high, for the who's who's and the haves haves, they would have had a servant to do that for them. But on this night, Jesus sets that model for them. We hear that interaction between Peter. Oh, Jesus, you don't need to do this to me. And Jesus says, you don't understand what I'm doing, but what I'm doing you must do as well. And then Peter sheepishly says, well, then not just my feet, how about my head and my hands? And Jesus says, this isn't bath time. This is the time to prepare you for the holiest of holies. This is the time to prepare you for the gift and the promise I am about to give you. And they have their meal. It's an uncomfortable meal, to be honest. Because, again, it's the Passover, and they're celebrating on one hand. There's probably a sense of joy about it, but I imagine as they look upon Jesus' face, he probably has mixed emotions on his face. And then at one point in that meal, he says, one of you gentlemen is going to betray me this night. And as Judas himself is literally dipping his bread into the bowl right at the same time Jesus is, of course they're debating with one another, it's certainly not I, Lord, is it? And he says, the one who is dipping with me is the one destined for that moment. You can imagine that meal draws to a silent point as they look at Judas. It's shortly after that that Judas will exit stage left. He will leave that meal. And one might think that, oh my gosh, he's been caught. Maybe he'll walk away with guilt or shame. No. Just as destiny holds it, he will go. And he will sell out that rabbi. He will sell out the greatest teacher that's ever walked this earth. He will sell out God in the flesh. Ironically, just as Scripture says that he would. But the meal isn't over. Jesus does something that didn't happen those 1,500 times that the Israelites and the Jewish people celebrated that Passover. Instead, Jesus does something that for 1,500 times has never happened. He takes some bread. He takes that unleavened bread, that symbol of that moment in time in which the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. That unleavened bread, because they did not have the time in Egypt to add yeast. They did not have time for that bread of sustenance, that bread of life in their mind to raise so that they could come to its fullest. No, they had that unleavened bread from Egypt. And again, in the wilderness, for 40 years, they scraped the manna off the ground each morning. For 40 years, that unleavened sustenance of their life. Jesus takes it in his hand, and he says something that they've never heard before. He says, "This here is my body. I give this, I break this. It is broken and given for you. Each time you eat of this, you must remember me." I imagine the disciples are concerned and curious, without doubt. Then he grabs a cup, and in that cup is the wine. And he holds it up, and he says to his disciples, he said, "In this cup is the new covenant in my blood." What were the disciples thinking at that moment? Which covenant are you referring to, Christ? The covenant of the blood on the doorpost. For 1,500 years, they have honored that promise. They have celebrated that promise in which God saved them. Not only saved them from slavery, but saved them from death itself. For 1,500 years, they celebrated that covenant. And now Jesus is saying, "In this cup is a new covenant. And this new covenant is in my blood. And this new covenant of my blood is going to be shed for you and for all who believe. As you drink from this cup, I must ask you to remember me. Because this cup is in a covenant of my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Eat of this bread. Drink of this cup. Remember the gift and the promise I give to you." Befuddled, to say the least, the disciples certainly were. The meal draws to a close, and they head out of that house. Maybe handshakes were given of the host. Maybe they thanked them. Maybe the host had departed for the night. I imagine that good man, that Jewish host, maybe they even participated in the meal. We will never know. But they leave that spot, they leave the meal, and they head down to the Garden of Gethsemane. They head down into the garden, down into the valley. They head into the valley that is called the Kidron Valley, which 1,000 years prior to that, as King David comes into Jerusalem, it's in that valley where all of the other cultures before them, the Amorites, the Amalekites, all of the Ites, as my daughters and I, we say as we read scripture together at night, there they practice the ungodliest of things. There in that Kidron Valley is where they would have ceremonial drums lining the hillside. And those drums were beat so that they didn't have to listen to the sound of their own children being sacrificed in the flames to false idols like Baal and Beelzebub. In that valley is the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus goes to pray. Imagine the bloodshed and the pain that garden, the stories that garden could share. Amen? But God in the flesh, he prays in that garden. And he prays for you. And he prays for me. He prays for his disciples. And what are the disciples doing? Jesus returns to his disciples and he found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is so weak." Once more he went away and he prayed again, the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were so heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. They fall asleep. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's been over 2,000 years for us celebrating the cup and the bread. But are we asleep? Are we asleep as the Lord gives us that promise? It's proclaimed to you each week. But are we asleep? Are we worried about the exhaustion of life? Are we confused about what our Lord has said to us? Are we confused by the promises that were given to us? Are we just exacerbated by, again, another holiday, another celebration of Holy Week? Are we just exhausted by the ways of life? Are we not concerned about the soldiers, the ones who are going to betray us that come down that pathway? What are we doing? Are we asleep? Are we spiritually asleep? Are we physically asleep? Or maybe are we spiritually dead? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we come to the table tonight. We lift up those fathers, those mothers, those grandparents who are honoring that covenant of bringing their children down this aisle. Let us not be asleep any longer. Let us not be asleep as you receive that body, as you receive that blood, as you receive those promises. This is Christ's body given for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat, give thanks, and stay awake. Thanks be to God. Amen.